worthy of praise tonight. Thank the Lord. It's good to be in His house. It's good to have your refuge away from the things of the world and to still feel the presence of God. Knowing that soon, brother, sister, this world won't have that anymore. Now, I plan on going with it. But the presence of the Lord is something we ought to cherish. These moments that we have, they ought to be more than gold to us. Even some of us, we got those moments in the past where you just think, man, if I could just go back, how good it was then, and just glorious times in our lives. But we know that the Bible says it's not wise to just dwell on that, because the same God that blessed you back there is still God today. And we ought to be just as good today as we were any day. That's right. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. It's been a while since we've had communion. I'm excited to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper once again. Amen. It's a privilege, it's an honor to do this. It's not a burden to me to serve the Lord. It's a burden when I don't serve Him. Right. I'm going to say that again. It's not a burden to do the things that's right. It's when, it's like Paul, I look in the mirror and you think, what is wrong with me, man? That's what becomes a burden in my life. But serving the Lord, that's the greatest privilege I ever had, was to serve the Lord. That's scripture, brother, sister. Look, we're benefactors of the greatest thing that's ever come to this earth. Jesus said, you know, you think you got to, He said, no, my burden's light. My yoke is easy. Why? Because it gets the devil out of your life. So you're doing a whole lot better than you were without the Lord. So, amen. Just want to take a little thought here before we take communion tonight. I didn't bring a lot on purpose because I don't want to take all afternoon. But if you hit in Hebrews 2 now, let's go down just to verse 10 through 12. Actually, let me read 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare Thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church while I sing praise unto Thee. 1 John 3, just one verse here. First John chapter 3, in the first verse, says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I'll stop there. I'd like to preach tonight, blood brothers. Blood brothers. Let's bow our heads before the Lord, with every head bowed, and trust your heart bowed as well. We approach this communion service, so you've already lifted you. Is there a need on your heart you'd like to lift to? Oh, hallelujah. That's why we raise our hand and surrender. Say, Lord, You know my heart, and I'm trusting it to You. Let's pray with all our hearts and just invite the Lord into this service. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for gathering the saints once again tonight. We thank You that Your word is still true, that it never fails. Wherever two or three are gathered in Your name, You're there, Lord. You're faithful to all Your appointments, and we feel Your Spirit already here with us tonight. And Lord, I see Your little eaglets, Lord, wanting their little bit of food, because, Lord, they want to get strong. They want to fly for the glory of God. And Lord, they're coming back to Papa God and looking for that manna from heaven. I pray You'd push me aside, Lord, and let the manna drop into every heart of the Word of God. And may it just bring fruit to Your name. May everything contrary to Your Word be defeated tonight. May You hear the heart's cry of Your people. May the Word provide those needs, we pray. And may the devil be defeated in every life that's here. We pray for this service, Lord. We remember the time You went to Calvary for us, and we honor it more than anything that's ever happened on the world, Lord. You mean so much to us. Thank You for what You did on Calvary. We come to this communion to fellowship with You and to remember how good of a God You've been to us, Lord. Thank You for Your faithfulness. May You just prove it one more time tonight as You speak to us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. But you don't have to stay seated. Amen. Some people think we got glue on our seats or something. But we can praise the Lord tonight. When you think of what He's done for you, brother, sister, it ought to give you joy. It ought to give you peace. It ought to do something more than any worldly entertainment can do. It ought to do something beyond any feeling or any doubts or any worldly pleasure, brother, sister. And that's really where we're starting to find out who loves the Lord and who don't. Is, does the Lord even excite you anymore? Does reading the Bible, is it just something you have to do because I don't want to feel bad? Or do you enjoy it? Do you feed on it? Is it as the prophet said, your word is more to me than my natural bread. I could miss a meal. I could not eat for a week, but don't take that word from me. I don't know what I'll do without it. Amen. Hallelujah. And brother, sister, if you've had a good diet of the word, you'll be able to say amen just like I can. The second you stop eating on it, you go, man, whoo. I need some more of that word, because what the world gives you, it's just dirty, rotten filth. That's right. It's just like I heard a minister talking one time of trying to go out and find movies for his kids to watch or something like that. And I'm not totally opposed to everything, but he made an analogy of, it's kind of like going through a trash can looking for a wrap sandwich. Just hoping that something in that pile of filth has actually got some meat to it. The difference is, when you approach the Word of God, you don't need any of that. It's not in a trash can somewhere. It's out on the open, in a big wide open table that's been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb. It's been purified and sanctified by God Almighty, and it's got eternal properties in it that no matter what the devil does, you could still eat it today. I don't care if God dropped that Word down 6,000 years ago. It's still good right now. Pick it up and eat it. That's right. Amen. He's still God today. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we're not going to get nowhere tonight. I'm not going to go long. You all pray for me now. Brother Andrew, I know a lot of preachers might say that, and they're probably just saying things, but I don't want to take an hour and a half before we take communion tonight. But Lord have His way. I was looking in, this thought dropped to me is, as it is with ministry, you know, that's what we're looking for. We could study quotes, we could read them, we could read the Bible, but when it's all done, you're looking for that inspiration. You're looking for that, because inspiration is life. When God, it said He breathed the breath of life into Adam, that was literally God's Word going into him. That's what we call inspiration. It's the same thing. Brother, sister, don't let the devil say, oh, that was just a cool wind in the room. No, if you were out and watching a movie or something, yeah, that was probably just a chill bump. But if you're in the house of God worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden the Word starts stirring you, that ain't a chill bump. That's the Holy Ghost getting a hold of you. That's right. Devil can't impersonate that, but judge it by fruit. Where'd it come from? It came from the Word. Then I want that. Amen. If I start shouting because of the Word, that's good, brother, sister. If I start being able to move a little bit, that might mean I have some life in me yet. Oh, I'm in Laodicea. Well, you might be dead. I'm not in Laodicea. I've been translated into the kingdom of God's Son. Amen. Far above all principalities and powers. We're talking about blood brothers tonight. And this is kind of a tricky situation. I like this. But you all know that the people that you're really related to, it just does. There's just something about it. There's something about family. There's something about, you know, when you got a blood brother. And you might have, I mean, I've got them all, brother, sister. I got every color, brother, sister. I got it, everything. But there's just something about when you know it's just your blood brother. And you can't explain it. You can't fathom it. There's just a connection there that it's really speaking of eternal things. That's what it is, bro. And as much as God has been gracious to us to get us through the situations that almost all of us have been through in this life, you know, we got mom here, we got dad here, we got brother here, we got cousin over this way, and we're trying to figure out who's what, God has been gracious to keep us in what we have, and we ought to be thankful for that tonight. But when you really meet that one that you know that you're one with, and I'm talking in the natural now, there's just a connection there that you can't manufacture nowhere else. You can go through all the meetings you want to, you can buddy up with everything, but at the end of the day, that's my brother. He can treat you like dirt. He could steal from you. He could lie. He can cheat. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, something just ties you to him. Amen. You could naturally, in your own mind, hate that guy. But there's some kind of connection because you're brothers. Hallelujah. I hope you're hearing me. We'll get to the spiritual part of this. But When we begin to think more highly now, not in the natural, that's just the physical talking about, but the spiritual, we begin to look for how can I have real fellowship with a brother? How can I have real fellowship with a sister? Everybody's trying to manufacture it. We're trying to come up with ways of how we can all become one. And we'll go and we'll denounce the Pope for trying to do it, but for some reason, as long as we put a message title over the top, we can go through the exact same process of trying to get everybody just to crowd together and just go down this path of darkness, not worried about the Word, not worried about truth. Who cares if we're compromising? Who cares if this brother won't preach the whole Word? Y'all getting too quiet tonight. Come on now, loosen up. I want the whole Word or I don't want none of it. I don't want no poison in it. I don't want no leaven in my lump. We're not eating leavened bread tonight. And if there was a little bit in it, we'd throw it in the trash and get something else. You'd all run the pastor out if we had leavened bread back here. I don't care if it was one little ounce got in there. You'd be upset. What's wrong with us with the real Word then? Why do we let it get leavened on every side? Why do we let everything in the world come in and just say, oh, that's hunky-dory? No, take the leaven out. Oh, God help me. I want the pure blood of the Lamb. I don't need none of the devil's tainting. The blood is powerful enough for me, brother, sister. It is my connection to my Father. Hallelujah. It's not because I prayed. It's not because I fast. It's not because I come to church or I pay my tithes. There's a connection between me and Him, and it's through the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me quote a few scriptures. Revelation 3:14 says, "And unto the angel of the church, the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Hallelujah! These things saith the creation of God. And we know, how could God be created if God is the Creator? He didn't create Himself. Listen to me now. God has always existed. God has never been created. Yeah, we have time. You know, y'all getting already bored now. It's been 10 minutes. We got time. We got space. You know, we got matter. We've got these things. But look, all of those things were created by God. So if He created them, He's not bound by them. He's above them. He's beyond them. He's beyond space. Because if you had matter, you got to put it somewhere. So if there's no space, where did it go? God didn't need space to exist. He just was. Amen. Don't ask me, but He lives beyond time. He lives beyond things. And if that's my Father, what in the world am I worried about a little bit of time? Why am I worried about a little bit of money? Why do I put everything else in front of Him? It shows a total lack of faith in that I don't really believe who He is.
That's right.
Or I don't believe my relationship to Him. That's the only thing that will get me down. But brother, sister, you give me a man of God who's convinced that He's the Son of God.
Amen.
That He's sold out, that He knows He's predestinated by the choosing and the election of God. I don't care what trials He goes through. I don't care how hard of an upbringing He has. He will not have an excuse for believing the Word. He'll believe every bit of it from kiver to kiver.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now Jesus was, as we understand, God. God was a spirit. He's beyond time and space and matter. But God didn't want to stay in that form. He wanted to make Himself so you could experience Him in time, space, and matter. You could feel Him.
Right.
Hallelujah. You could sense Him. You could see Him. And you could spend time with Him.
Right.
Hallelujah. And just because God couldn't get enough of you, He made sure time wouldn't run out. Just made it an eternal. You know, just take the normal time out of the equation, just make an eternal property where it don't start or stop at all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was the beginning of the creation of God. And we all understand that. We believe that God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word came down from heaven and took on a bodily shape in the womb of Mary. And we all believe that. The Catholics believe that. They believe it more than a lot of Protestants do anymore. A lot of them don't believe in the virgin birth no more. They believe that God came and had a relationship with Mary. That's absolute nonsense, brother, sister. Because and really the only reason we know that there's no way that could ever happen is because we know what the first sin was.
Right.
If you don't believe that, you could maybe think that God had a relationship with Mary. But when you begin to dissect the Word and say, wait a minute, that act is why we're in all this mess in the first place. There ain't no way God partook in that.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And we believe that God became flesh and God became the Son. The Father became the Son and expressed Himself to a way that we could understand Him. as Jesus said, no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal Him. So you have to come through the manifestation of God that was made flesh for us. Because that's why the Old Testament saints, though they knew Him, though they believed Him, though they confessed it, they couldn't have the faith that you and I can have today. Because they had not the revelation of the Son of God in their day. They were the sons of God, but they could not exercise their sonship.
Right.
The only thing they could exercise is servants of the Lord. And they did it faithfully. A lot more faithful than a lot of people claim to be sons in this day. But they did. That's right. David was a man after God's own heart. David had followed God when it wasn't popular.
Right.
David stayed with the Lord when he was getting chased out of town running for his life. He stayed with the Word. When David could have took the situation into his own hands and could have ended all these hard trials he was going through, David recognized, no, God is allowing this to happen. Who am I to stand in His way? That's the Lord's anointed. I will not touch Him. And just by cutting the corner of His garment off, it said it smote Him in His heart. Aren't you happy you had those situations where before you went and made a big mistake, you tested that water a little bit and all of a sudden the check came and you actually listened to it?
Amen.
Kept you out of a lot of trouble. If you don't listen to that, you're going to get in a heap of trouble. That's right. Turn with me to Colossians 1. Colossians 1 verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I got to read that again. That was just too good. I got to give thanks to my Father tonight for doing this for me. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit or complete or acceptable, hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the visible or the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, whether they were all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father, that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him, to reconcile all things unto Himself by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, was made a minister. As we just read there at the beginning, God had looked down upon us, brother, sister, and He had an inheritance for His people. And all of God's inheritance was founded in the Son. Everything, it says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Bible said that God spoke that to the Son. Your throne is forever and ever. They have, you know, you go to 1 Corinthians 15, it looks like that, you know, the Son is taking the kingdom and delivering it up to the Father like they're two different people. But then you're going to realize, well, that would mean that the Son's kingdom ends, and the Bible tells us that the Son's kingdom does not end, brother, sister. It runs from eternity to eternity because God made Himself into this firstborn image. And why would it matter if He was the firstborn if there was no borns to be followed?
Amen.
He's not the only born, He's the firstborn.
Amen.
Did you hear me now? He's the firstborn to show us that He is the one by all things consists. He's the one that made everything was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, God made Jesus Christ. God made Him a body. And through that body, that theophany body, before there was anything else, that's how God made everything. Amen, brother, sister. You can't break it up into different people. It just won't work right. But Jesus Christ, through that manifestation of God, made everything. And what was that? The first image of what a real Son of God looks like.
Yes.
And what did that Son have? He had power.
Yes.
Oh my. He had authority. He had an inheritance.
Sure.
And we'd all look at Jesus and say, man, he's worthy. He's any better. You better think he's worthy. If you don't think he's worthy, you ain't to first base yet. He's holy, unreprovable, unrebukable. And as long as I say that about Jesus, ain't nobody got no problems. But lest I checked, I just read in the Bible just 2 seconds ago that God has taken you and by his blood identified you in the same state as himself, unreprovable. That means I don't care, brother, sister, if you're behind that shed blood, you can bring in the room of all the legalists in the world, you won't feel a bit condemned. Why? Because I know who and whom I'm redeemed by. And it wasn't you, brother, sister, it was him.
Amen.
And his word has come. His word, not just a book, brother, sister, a body hast thou prepared me that went to a cross, that shed the blood. And because the blood has now come to me, it's made me a blood brother with the Savior. I've got a connection. I can't explain it. I can't make sense of it. When I was the one stabbing him and backbiting and talking bad about him and treating him like dirt. Oh, you say, no, I've never done that. Oh, yeah? Okay. Let's look at your track record if we pay attention to what you use your time on. Let's see what you do with the Lord. Let's see how many times he's in your house in the room with dirty feet and nobody entertaining him. Woo, glory. Oh, Christians, just accept the blood tonight. Because as long as you get in the picture, this is why so many people can never get free in Christ, is because they won't get in Christ. They still have a part of their own salvation, and that always fails. You're not into this. What I just read there about being having your sins forgiven and being redeemed was all 100% through the blood of God being shed on the cross. You say, well, then why did God send us a message? Too many people just got a message up here. They didn't get the message in here. That began to show you that blood speaks.
Amen.
What does it speak? It speaks my name.
Yes.
He came in the name of his Father, and what was it? He said, call his name Jesus. He said, I'll send you a comforter, and he'll come from the Father in my name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. And after Paul, go to 22. Paul was talking about Moses and the terrible mountain that he went to where the people, and actually if you'll study it out, that's where the Nicolaitan system started, brother, sister, in the Bible. It was when God came down on the mountain. And when the people of Israel tried to approach God through a legalistic means, through a way of saying, I'm worthy enough to approach God. When they actually got to his presence, what did they say? We do not want God to talk one more time. Moses, we just want God. You can talk to God. You tell us what God said. And that started the Nicolaitan system right there. They said, whatever the Lord says, we'll do it. And the second you say that, boy, you're going to eat it. You better put your foot in your mouth. That's right. And say, by the grace of God, help me. And look, that's New Testament teaching too. James said the same thing. He said, don't you go say, I'm going here, I'm doing this. We'll plant this year and we'll do this next year. He said, no. He said, the Lord will. We'll do such and such. Because as Jesus said, you don't even know. Sufficient to today is the evil thereof. Don't you worry about tomorrow. Well, you got so much to worry about overcoming today. You start worrying about tomorrow, you ain't never going to get there, brother, sister. You done defeated. And what happens? You ignore today's problems for tomorrow's. And by the time tomorrow's gets here, you're already on the next day. And you forgot 2 days ago. And by the time you're done, you're a week behind. When Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for one day, it took them 3 days to find him. And we think of that as, oh, that wasn't too bad. Brother, sister, just imagine it now. Imagine the whole church is going to a camp. Listen. And we go a whole day's journey. We're all driving all over. And all of a sudden, we go to get in a hotel. And we don't know where Brother Justin is. That's what happened. They went through everywhere. They said, no, he's got to be in one of these. He's got to be in some. No, he's in none of them. So what did they do? They went back. And after one day of searching all around, couldn't find him. 2 days, couldn't find him. Finally, the third day, they just happened to think, I wonder if he went to church. That was probably the problem. They were looking for him outside of the will of God instead of looking for what the Word said, that this was God's Son and he would be busy about the Father's business, which was preaching the Word. And he was in the service telling them bunch of Nicolaitans how to serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's where they finally found a brother. That was a trial of their faith. That's why I believe they got all upset. And Mary said, "What are you doing? Your father and I sought you with tears." And he said, "What are you talking about? Don't you remember? That ain't my father. You should know that more than anyone else." But see, in the emotion of the situation, she got so worked up. Why? She began to forget what the Word said, brother, sister. And that's the same condition I find the church at in this day. We begin to try, after we start serving the Lord, we believe the message, and then all of a sudden we've got to do this. And if we don't do this, we ain't saved. And if we don't do this, and we don't do this. And look, you should be doing those things, but look, back to train them. Why are you doing it? What are you doing with your life? Are you serving the Lord? Are you in love with the Lord? Or are you in love with the doctrine?
Right.
Woo! We ought to go to church, but are you in love with four walls? Or are you in love with the Spirit of God?
Amen.
That's the difference, brother, sister. But as Paul told them they were going to that mountain, he didn't leave the church to go to that mountain. He said, "Look, you church, turn. Look at that now, Hebrews 12:22. This is the mountain you're coming to." Now, can we believe all this tonight? I think that'd do us real good, brother, sister. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all," and don't leave this part out, "and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Oh, I believe, you know, what's that song? "There's angels all around, you know, we're standing on holy ground. With, oh, praise the Lord. God help me, I'm just such a rank sinner. I'm just such a loser. Oh, wait. Did you come to the innumerable company of angels? Well, according to the Bible, then, that means you came I should just read the next scripture real quick. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Why is it better things? It's because you don't get in this without the blood. You don't sneak in without the blood. And once the blood gets on a man, he gets a new robe on, brother, sister. He drops that old thing. He don't know what you're even talking about. That thing's been in a fire a long time ago. I'm wearing the righteousness of God on me. But don't tell me you got that righteousness without the blood first. You a liar. That's right, you're a liar. Look, that happened at the wedding feast. Remember, they were having it in the house. They let everybody in. And we understand that when they invite them over, they put wedding garments on them. All of a sudden, they looked around, they found a man. He looked a little different. On the outside, he looked like everyone else. But in here, you look different, boy. Out there in the world, you might have fit in just fine. At that nominal church, you might have did okay. Had that bunch of backslid church. Come on now.
Yeah, come on.
You might have fit in just fine. His brother so-and-so, oh, we love you. But now the Holy Ghost here. And if you don't have the righteousness of God, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. That's right, brother, sister. And the Spirit of God does that. And what does it do to people who won't repent? It drives them right out the door. That's right, brother, sister. And if we start judging it by numbers instead of by the power of God and by the Word of God, you'll get discouraged. You'll think you did something wrong. Brother, sister, and you might have. I'll tell you, we all make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But the Word, don't drive the Word away.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I believe this, brother, sister, that we've come to a general assembly.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means we're all in it. Anybody that's under that blood is in it.
Right.
That's right. And why does this blood of sprinkling speak so much better than the blood of Abel? Well, if you go read back in Genesis, when Cain comes after he's killed Abel, God, he says, "Hey, Cain, where's your brother Abel?" And he says, "Am I my brother's keeper? Do I have to care about him?" It showed you right there, he's got devil spirit all over him. Back talking God. And I'll tell you right now, you back talk the Word, you got a devil on you. I know the Word says that, but brother, you don't... Nope, you got devil on you. That's right. I know the prophet said that. We live in 2016, brother, sister. That was 65. That don't want to apply no more. And don't you try following His Word. That was written in the latest about 90 AD. If the message don't apply, this sure don't apply. Ooh, glory. That's right. You can't do it on some chronological thing because like I started with, God don't deal in no time. God deals by His Word. And when God says something, all heavens and earth will pass, but that Word will not.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you believe that Word, you can't pass as much
Amen.
As God can.
Amen.
Hallelujah. General Assembly, we're all included this one way or another, brother. If you've come under the blood, we are part, listen, of the church of the firstborn.
Amen.
Oh, I believe Jesus first. No. We're in the church. We're in the called out and separated group of people. Hallelujah. Not the ones that says, hey, you look funny. Get out of here, boy. That's right. You ain't got the Holy Ghost. Get on out of here. Look, he didn't just pat him on the back and said, hey, let's go have a Bible study real quick. Let me explain to you why you're off. No, he said, get out. You going to worship that devil? Get on out. Hallelujah, brother, sister. I'm just feeling good. I don't know. I'm feeling good. Why? Because I believe, brothers, you might look at tonight. And let's just be right here. Let's just be real. Where's everybody at?
Right.
But I'm telling you right now, if the prophet of God stood here, he would not be a bit surprised. They told him, and I'm going a little bit on hearsay. I hope it's okay, but I know this wouldn't surprise me at all. They told him, Brother Bram, you got somewhere 10,000 or so many thousands of people following. He said, that's too many.
Yeah.
So that's too many. They're just leeching on the message.
Yeah.
That's right. They did it to Jesus. That's right. There was a time Jesus had multitudes following him. He had even had a nice ministerial group.
That's right.
70 preachers, you know, did all right. You know, you're doing okay, Brother Jesus. Keep it up. You know, you might get up with Brother Jehoshaphat here in a few months if you keep it going.
Right.
You know what happened? Brother Bram said he began to shake the parasites off.
Right.
Now, does that mean he's pointing them out and said, hey, you brother, we don't like you. Get on out. That's how some people do it.
Right.
Just keep rubbing them with the cold shoulder all the time until eventually they just get so sick of it, they just go somewhere else. Right. That ain't what we're talking about. Brother, sister, it's that the Word begins to drive them away.
Amen.
They'll have some doctrine like, oh, I don't have to come to church. I mean, if I make it, okay. You know, don't you judge me. I can't stand that, brother. That makes me want to throw up. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I hate that phrase. Don't judge me. I'm not. That's your problem. If I was judging you, you'd be doing just fine. Because I have no power, unless you're a student at Defiance High School, I have no power doing anything to any of you. But if you begin to realize that God is judging you, He's the reason you're breathing. He's the reason you exist. By Him, all things consist. I don't care if you're the biggest atheist in the world. The only reason you're alive is because of Him.
Amen.
There ain't nothing that exists without God.
That's right.
That's right.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. But I ain't here tonight to talk about those that are running away. I'm talking about this General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn here. I'm talking to those that believe that there's angels all around.
Amen.
That even if it's just 10, if even it's just one, if you're on the Lord's side, don't forget what Elisha told told his servant Gehazi.
Yeah.
Now, man, and look, we might think we're going up an enemy, but you ain't stood in the middle of a valley and looked around on the hillsides and saw soldiers everywhere and knowing they had one goal, kill you.
Uh-huh.
And you're sitting there. And look, he had just backslid not too long ago.
Right.
I don't know if you remember this, but he stole the garment and then the gold and all that, and he got caught. And he said, Elisha told him, didn't my heart go out with you when you did that? He said, you're going to die a leper.
Uh-huh.
And I used to think that maybe he got a new servant, but you go read. No, it's the same man.
Yes.
Came back. That should be the grace of God right there, brother, sister. Though he was going to reap for what he had done, it didn't change his position. Why? He was called to be Elisha's servant. And you're called tonight to be a son of God, brother, sister. It don't matter what we've done. As long as you'll come back and repent and get right with God, you'll go right back where you were supposed to be in the first place. That's right. Oh, we might take the hard road, but just stay on the road. That's right. Don't fall off the left side. Just stay on. Amen. And Gehazi was looking around and soldiers on every side. What began to happen? He began to tremble. He began to get a little carnal. He began to think, oh man, judgment is coming for me. I ain't really getting out of this. And he said, Master, what are we going to do? He said, oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, see, that's what it feels like when you really believe in the Word.
Yes.
And brother, sister, if you get offended when you're talking to somebody and they just don't understand my situation. They just don't get how hard it is. And they're really believing the Word, they're not going to act like your situation is a big deal.
Right.
Why? Because they know they got a really big God that don't need to fuss and stir and do all this stuff to get this done. He can do it just like that, and He's going to take care of it.
Amen.
Get mad all you want to, but Elijah said, Lord, open this poor boy's eyes. Right. Let him see. And he looked, and it doesn't even say that Elisha even saw it. Right. The Bible don't say that, but it says Gehazi saw it.
Yes.
And he saw chariots of fire on every hillside, brother, sister. You might not see it today, but if you believe it, and we just read it, that if you're born again by the Spirit, the blood is speaking. What is it speaking? Back in Cain's day, it spoke judgment. Kill Cain because he killed me. But now the blood of Jesus speaks. I died. Don't kill them. Let them live because I took their place.
Hallelujah.
And brother, sister, don't let your ears get dull of hearing. The blood still speaks tonight. Don't let condemnation bring you down. Believe the voice that's come to us. You were justified by Him.
Amen.
The same as you never did it in the first place. Glory to God. Oh my, what else do we want to know from God besides that, brother, sister?
Come on, amen.
Oh my, He could heal me of every disease. He could give me $1 million. If I would trade all that to have the revelation I have of the grace of God in my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood still speaks, brother. So I got to go one more here. Romans 8. And then I want to turn a direction here. Romans 8 and you've 28. And you probably all know this one. But I like to keep reading. That seems to be part of my ministry. Find what you like and add the icing to the cake you already love. Now, don't be like a little kid. Just scrape off the icing and forget the cake. Eat all the Word, brother. Don't eat the stuff that's just tasty. Eat it all. That's right. It might not be as good, but it's still good. Just eat it on down.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen to that now. We believe in God making Himself flesh and making Him a perfect image, that Jesus was flawless. But why did God do that? Then God began to call you. Then God brought you back to Himself. Why did He call you? To show you that He's going to mold you into that exact same image. So that way when somebody looks at Christ and then somebody looks at you, they say, you're His brother. Hallelujah! He's the firstborn among, well, just our church, you know. Just these over here. Just this brother because he's real inspired. And this, no, among many brethren. That's right. I don't care where you come from. As long as you believe the Word, as long as you've come behind that Word and behind the blood of the Lamb, brother, you're my brother. Sis, you're my sis. That's right. Now, if a man, I think that's good, brother, sister. Keep reading. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Oh, I want to see the glory of God in my life. It's done happened. Can you believe that tonight? It's already happened. When God called you, when God called you to repentance, when God called you back to Himself, that was Him showing you you're predestinated. And when God shows you your election, it leads you to your predestination. I know where I came from, so I know where I'm going. I know what image I used to look like, but I know what image I have to be.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ made flesh again.
Amen.
Blood brothers with God Almighty.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a privilege it was for Abraham, I'm sure, to see God come down and call Abraham his friend.
That's right.
The friend of God. And to come down and tell Moses, I am that I am. And to express Himself to each one. But God has come to us in this day. Oh, hear me tonight. He's pulled back His Word. He's opened up every seal and shown that you are His expression in this day. You're so much like Him that the prophet could say, she is Him.
Amen.
She's bone of His bone. She's life of His life. She's power of His power.
Amen.
Oh, don't just take the first part without it. The power that Jesus possessed is in the heart of a believer tonight. Why? Because the same blood shed on Calvary is now in you, brother, sister. It's now transferred and it lives on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're looking for the bride to come together. We're looking for the, and we preach as the bride's revival, and we're going to have a big sweeping thing. There's going to be power of God on every side. And that's true. But if you're not under the blood, you have no fellowship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've met those people before. That nonstop will say, they need your time. They need your fellowship. They need this. And because nobody will do any of that, then they ain't going to come to church no more because they're all just a bunch of hypocrites. Ain't nobody love me.
Sure.
Trying to get satisfaction out of what they call fellowship. But why aren't they getting satisfied? It's because, brother, we can't even walk together lest we be agreed. And look, as much as you might naturally try to hide it, brother, sister, the Spirit knows what you believe and what you don't. That's right. If you got some little doctrine pulling you over this side, hallelujah, and you go into a church that you know don't stand for that, you can fake it all you want to. You ain't having fellowship. I'm just praising tonight anyways. Why? Because Amos done said it. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? Paul picked it up in 2 Corinthians 6. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion? We're about to take communion here in a minute. Now listen. What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. Look, not the temple of God over there. I'm the temple of God. So if I'm the temple of God and you're a temple full of idols, we ain't gonna have no fellowship.
Right.
I can fake it, you can fake it, we can manufacture it, but at the end of the day, we don't have a blood connection yet. But oh my, you give me a brother, I don't care where he's from. I've been down to Louisiana, I've been to South Carolina, I've met people from Africa. When you give me a brother that's under that same blood that I am, we have fellowship. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're going to a connection that transcends our natural birth. It transcends our background, our history, our culture. We don't need any of those excuses when we're in Christ. Why? Because it translated us, brother, sister. Hallelujah. It translated us up into a new kingdom. The kingdom of the firstborn. A kingdom where angels feel welcome. A kingdom where the spirits of just men have been made perfect. Glory to God. I feel like I'm there right now. I'm just feeling good. Hallelujah. Why? Because I don't got no fellowship in this darkness no more. Hallelujah. I just want to stay in the light. If there's only going to be two of us, praise God. I ain't leaving the light, brother, sister.
Amen.
Amen. I'm staying right there. Brother Branham says this in Satan's Eden. He says, then Satan got Eve to listen to his gospel of theology. The gospel of knowledge, higher school and higher ethics. Better civilization, higher education, so forth. When he got her to stop and listen to him a minute to his reasonings, which we are commanded to cast down, when he got her to listen to it. Now looky here. The church is so-and-so. It's been established for so long. We're one of the oldest churches in the country. The mayor of the city goes, I don't care what it is, see. If it's against God's word, be against it. That's your enemy. Anything that's against the word is your enemy. Everything that's for the word is your brother. He's a part of you.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Now, look, that's the other side of the picture. The man that's got every excuse why the Bible ain't right or why we don't need to listen to the prophet no more and the pastor's a hypocrite and this brother's a hypocrite and this guy don't love nobody and that guy, he can just go. Listen to me now. I ain't going to kick him out with brute force or anything like that. But you keep the word here, you keep praising the love of God, that devil won't stick around. It'll flee for the hills. But don't you be on the other side, on the self-righteous side now, and think you got a right to even judge that man. Ooh, we got quiet. Think you got a right to segregate yourself and make cliques and groups and this. I only fellowship with these people because of it. No. Don't you never put anyone out or in. You let the Spirit take care of that.
Amen.
That's right. There's a time where the Holy Ghost will get a hold of a man. That's true. And I mean, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, his work shall do. You know, Paul said, get thee behind me, you son and child of the devil. How long you pervert the ways of the Lord? Brother Brandon, I remember that one guy come up there and he said, I wrote TB and cancer on my car. And he said, before I even thought about it, says, you've challenged the Spirit of God. You now have both. And the man died 6 months from then. See, the man had done sealed himself out of the kingdom. And the Spirit can do that when Peter, Ananias, Sapphira came. He says, why are you lying to the Holy Ghost? Yeah. He didn't say, why didn't you join our church? Why didn't you come to our fellowship? You didn't, they ain't fellowship anyways, brother, sister. And we can have all the fellowships we want. If we're not under the blood while we're fellowshipping, we ain't fellowshipping. Because the only way for fellows to fellowship are to be in the same ship. We can't fellowship if I'm in one ship trying to head the Word and you another one heading towards the world. We're going two different ways.
Sure, amen.
Hallelujah. But don't just keep loving one another. Keep believing the best that even if a man is falling wrong, even if he isn't identified, you've got to hold some hope in your heart that Christ has given. That, Lord, do something in that man's life. And as long as you keep pure before the Lord, dude, they could run you through the ringer. They could get man stern, do whatever, and leave. That's fine. You'll feel justified because you stayed out of it.
Right.
And anyone can witness. God will honor your faith when you do that.
Amen.
Anytime you go for taking your own hands upon it, and the problem is ministers have done this. And when a minister does it, it doesn't just affect him no more. It'll affect whoever is listening to him. Don't you never take it upon yourself to worry about. Look, I'm just preaching to get people back to the blood. Because if I can get them back to the blood, we'll have the right fellowship. We don't have to kick you and pry and do everything else to get you to come to church. We don't have to go and baby and pat you on the back and say, oh, you're a good fellow when you're living in sin.
Right.
You'll be the first one to say, God have mercy on me, I need saved.
Amen.
God have mercy on me, I need redeemed. God have mercy on me, I need a fresh pouring out of the Spirit of God. And too many times men have tried to leave that word to create fellowship. Listen to me now. They'll think, well, if I preach the whole word, you know, this person probably get offended. So will this one. They don't really like when I preach about predestination too much. These ones don't like, you know, about she is him, and we'll just leave that alone. And this one's kind of lowered the bars about women's clothes, and this one about TV and things. And we'll just, you know, if I just come down a little bit here, then I'll have a nice little bigger fellowship. What do you find out? There ain't no fellowship. There's a lot of people, but there ain't no fellowship. Hallelujah. You've been there before. A crowd of hundreds of people, and everyone's strangers. Ain't a person know nobody. Why? Because they're not under the same banner. The same banner of what? Like the Song of Solomon, his banner over me is love. That's what we need, is a banner over our hearts that say the love of God is shed abroad in my heart because the grace of God came to my life, and all I want is for everyone else to experience the same grace that I have.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me finish on this quote, Fellowship 1962. This world council of churches, why they're fighting their own selves. They're cutting the throats. How can they ever have fellowship when people in there don't even believe in God? Infidels and everything else. Jesus said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you do it? There's only one way you can walk with another man. That's when you agree with him. So how are you going to cut off in some denomination and so forth and make an agreement when one separates himself from the other? And yet, God wants us to fellowship. There's something in us to make fellowship. Man always wanted to do it, but he's always tried to achieve by his own knowledge how to bring it. And he'll never be able to do it. So there we go. We're done right there, brother, sister. Too many times I've sat through these, you know, little meetings and things. And like I remember one time I was going to church and they had a bunch of youth together. And they're kind of devising a plan on how to get the backslid and the wayward and stuff to all come to the meeting and things. And should we goof off and play games first and then have the Bible study? Or should we have the Bible studies first and then do that? Or should we sing? And it's just a program. And you know what? If they don't believe, that ain't going to change it.
Right.
Too many times I think services are starting to make it to where the word is just kind of extra. We just want to listen to singing. We just want to see each other so we can have friends. And maybe we'll listen to a good sermon or something. I mean, that's fine. The Word's why we came.
Amen.
The Word is why the assembly of the firstborn is supposed to come together, is to hear the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ in the Spirit speaking to us again. Amen. Why? Driving us to real Holy Ghost fellowship. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, I love you with all my heart, but I got to be where He is. Wherever He is where this fellowship is. And that's with the banner of the Holy Ghost all over the top, with angels up and down every aisle, so through and through, keeping the devil so far away, he can't have nothing to do with us. That's real fellowship by the Bible. You can think it. Look, it's all programmed. And they even use the word program now. I wish they'd go look up some quotes on the word program and find out the prophet had nothing good to say about it. Nothing. Why? It's just a fruit of denominational thinking. Man alive, I'm trying not to do this. But I just got to say the truth when it comes, brother, sister. I don't mind. You know, we have youth things and we have old people things and we have couple things, and that's all fine. But don't think that's going to help nothing.
Amen.
You need the Word.
Amen.
The Word is what does it. And too many times we begin to do that and think, well, the married couple have to hear this because they're more spiritual than the youth. You know what? And the problem is they're probably not. The youth are probably blowing you out of the water.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Don't tell me that Brother Austin here can't work in the supernatural like anybody else in this room.
Right.
And I ain't saying that to lift him up or bring you down. I'm saying because it's true.
Amen.
And we separate the youth. Why? Because, you know, they can't really have a real service. So we're going to call it a youth service. That's fine if we want to have a youth service, but don't make it some second-rate service where God don't do nothing.
Amen.
Where our expectation is, well, we'll just come down here because, you know, they're kind of naive and blah, blah, blah. You know what? The Spirit can teach you something in 5 minutes that some old backslip grouch that ain't never done nothing for God never knew nothing about.
Right.
Glory to God. Moses thought he had it all figured out. God took him 40 years, said, go ahead, boy, go try that out. You know what he did? He made a few bucks. Had a kid and got him a hot-tempered wife. That's right. And then God called him. In 5 minutes talking to the pillar of fire, he did what he could never do himself.
Amen.
Took down an entire nation with a stick.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. That's right, brother, sister. Glory to God. That's right. Every person in the bride of Christ is just as capable as anyone else.
Amen.
We just need to find our spot and stay there. But I'm going to tell you right now, your spot is always under the blood.
Amen.
So no matter what God calls you to, that's fine. You have your office, I have mine, you have yours, you have your gifts, but it's all under the blood. Don't tell me God told you to do something outside of that blood.
No way.
Don't tell me God told you to do something. Oh, I'm called to witness on Wednesdays and not go to church. No, you're not, brother, sister. You're called to be in church. That's right. Because that, if we can't get together now, forget heaven.
Right.
We can't stand each other for 2 hours. How are we going to go somewhere where we never go away? Hallelujah. See, the Holy Ghost is what breaks all that yokes off. That's right. That's what makes it so we can take one another.
Right.
Because you could barely take yourself without the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost gets you to love your brother just like yourself. Even get you to love your enemy just like yourself. That's right. Let me finish that now. So if man can't achieve fellowship and every man's seeking it, how can we achieve real fellowship? Well, the prophet tells us we would have to have fellowship with every church would be a Lutheran. And if every church would be a Baptist and so forth, we could have fellowship under the denominational rites. But we who read the Bible know that these things make us disagree. Now, the only thing that we can have fellowship under is like we sat here tonight, Methodists, Baptists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, and what more, when we're under the shed blood of the innocent. That was God's requirement, and God never does change His program. Hallelujah. When God once makes the decision, He has to forever remain with that decision. Glory to God. There was a time, and I am closing right now, there was a time where there was a knock on the door. And they said, Jesus, hey, your mother and brethren are here.
Yes.
Excuse me. And of course, they were talking after the flesh. because we understand that Mary went on to have more children after Jesus was born. That they would have been Jesus' foster family or whatever you want to call it. But they, of course, they didn't believe none of that, especially where he was from. They specifically, Jesus went to his hometown and he specifically said there's many things he could not do because they disbelieved so bad. To the point where Jesus, just imagine the Savior marveling. We think of Jesus always being calm, cool, and collected. And I'm sure, you know, the Bible says you couldn't hear him in the streets. He didn't break a flax. But there's times where it said he got angry. Yeah. There was times where it said he was happy and rejoiced. There was times where, I bet when he was blessing them children, he had a big old smile on his face. Right. Here come a time where he just looked that cross-eyed, confused. What are you talking about? If there's anyone that should believe this, it's you guys. I wonder if he ain't done the same thing in that this day. If there's any, why are you fighting the predestination of God? If there's anyone who should believe that, it should be this message. The power of God, you're saying we don't have the gifts anymore? If there's anyone who should have that in demonstration more consistent, it should be you message people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, what's happened is just what the interpretation was. Well, my brother was, he went fishing with the prophet, so that's why he's identified with. Your mother and brethren outside Jesus. He says, who's my mother? Who are my brethren? He says, they ain't them. That's right. Those that do the will of my Father. Those are my brethren, my sisters, my father, my mother. Hallelujah. He said, I can be the mother of Christ. Where's he birthed at? In you. Glory to God. Why is he my brother? Because he was born in a form of God made flesh. And here I am again later, born of the same Father, made flesh again. It's my brother, my father, my sister. How's he my sister? Because Sister Suzanne's sitting right there. That's Christ over there, Christ over here. He's my sister too. Woo! Oh man, I don't know if we believe that one, but that's true. Look, just he said, as you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Hallelujah. So even if you think somebody's the least, if you'll make the word your absolute, go do it for him, brother, because that's the same as doing it for the one that you believe is the greatest. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy to know he's your relative tonight, brother? That I'm blood connected to him. His blood came and washed me clean, but what did it do? It tied me back to him, and it speaks, son. Oh, hallelujah. And I speak back, father.
Amen.
Abba. Father, the Spirit in me speaking the same thing that it did through the Savior, because it's the same life.
Amen. Yes.
I've got an older brother that's got the same parents. You know what? My genes would match his.
Right.
Why? Because we got the same background. And brother, sister, you love the Lord. I trust you do.
Amen.
You've repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, received the Holy Ghost. We done got the same parents.
Right.
So I might as well get over it. I might as well, you might hate me, I might hate you, but at the end of the day, we tied together. So we might as well get over it, love one another, and just let it go. Isn't that right? It's like Brother Branham said, he said, you might see these scuffles in church and things, but you watch. He said, you might think you hate that man, but you watch him getting a hard time. You watch him getting a car wreck and being in the hospital. You look who's the first one over there praying for him. Why? Because all of a sudden something happens. Says, you know, us Branhams, we, you know, out in the backyard, yeah, we might scuffle here and there, but you out in the front, you're going to deal with all of us. That's right, because out in the front, we don't fight one another. And brothers, we might have our little scuffles, we might have our little thoughts, our little feelings, but at the end of the day, we got one enemy, that's the devil. And we all hate him. And we all want him dead. We got to recognize we're all tied together. Let's push the cart, brothers, with Christ, knowing that he's the one who defeated in the first place, but now he sent us.
Amen.
And how can we do it? Because that's my brother.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. David killed one giant, but don't forget, brother, sister, they went and slew giants from there on out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I was thinking it takes one person. It takes one person to really get that deliverance. And if you be the one. You be David and watch what it does to everyone around you.
Amen.
We love our families. We think about them. We cry out for them for their souls. But too many times the opportunity will come to finally demonstrate our faith, to be a witness, to slay our David, our Goliath right in front of them. What do? We begin to lose our identity.
Right.
We think, well, that's just my brother. I'm just him naturally. No. We're brothers somewhere else. And my brother's down here bound. Look, you got to believe. If you're going to put the token on somebody, you better believe they're predestinated or why are you wasting your time? Watch people put the token in the next mouth, say they're going to hell. What are you doing? I'm so glad God didn't do that with me. I'm so happy that when God put the token on me, I knew that was my ticket back home. Why? It said Jesus Christ, and I know where that name goes. It goes to heaven, so I'm planning on going here, brother, sister. And tonight, we are assembled in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This church of the firstborn is already on earth.
Amen.
Glory, don't forget, it's not just in heaven. He said all things in heaven and in earth. What's gathering us together, this message that we're feasting on?
Amen.
It's calling us all back to our fellowship with God. Let's stand together tonight. Oh, glory to God. I love you, Jesus. You love Him with all your heart. Amen. Amen. I want Him to be Lord of all. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Lord, I want You to be Lord of all my life. I don't want any of my own thoughts, any of my own motives, Lord. I'm so in love with You, Lord. I want You to live through me the exact same way You did when You were here. It's after me. It's just a little chorus here. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Sing with all your heart now. Surrender to Him. Jesus be the Lord of all. Oh, thank You, Lord.
The Lord of all.
Jesus be. Jesus, I surrender all. Mean it with all your heart tonight. Jesus, we surrender, Lord.
Surrender all.
Believe it now.
Jesus, I surrender all.
Thank You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise Your name, Lord.
The kingdom's of my heart.
Sing that again tonight. Lay your heart on the altar.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The King comes my
Jesus be the Lord of all. Sing it again tonight.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord.
Oh, thank You, Lord. Just reverently, before we turn the service to communion. Hallelujah. Is there anyone that would have a need of prayer and would like to come forward for prayer? Would you come now? Is there anyone? Spoke His word tonight to us. Before we turn to communion, we want to know that we're right with the Lord. And I believe there's healing here tonight. That's physical, that's supernatural. God is still God. And I believe a preaching of the word always comes with power. If you feel a devil power in your life, shouldn't be there, brother, sister. God has identified us tonight with Him. And We already know that Christ defeated the devil everywhere he went. And Christ is still going today in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And wherever he goes, the devil's defeated. Amen. Is there any other needs tonight? You can receive it right there. You can pray through. I believe in that. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your sisters. Believe the Lord tonight. Just love on Him with all your heart. I'm going to pray with these brothers up here. Lord Jesus, I lay hands on my brother. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you deliver him from his allergies. Careful to give you all the praise, knowing that you're our healer. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Amen. Lord Jesus, I'm the same for my brother Justin. Your healing power touches his nose and take away all the stuffiness, Lord, and make him well. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Receive it too, brother, sister. Don't leave here sick like that. Same healing heal our brother there will heal you. Thank the Lord. Jesus, I pray for my brother. I know he's got a sincere heart. May his faith rise, Lord. Find that place beyond all these things of the world. Destroy all the works of darkness, Lord. Lays his heart on the altar. I pray you receive him by the blood now. May your Holy Spirit feel welcome in his life and in his heart. Commit it all to you, forgiven, Lord, by the blood. And be me, I pray, out of all this darkness in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Believe it with all your heart. Believe what you pray for. Master's hands would touch him. The King of Kings, Lord, take away all the sickness and pain, the things that the devil's done to him all these years. Lord, I pray you bring restoration to his body. Lord, and may the joy of the Lord become his strength. May it begin to rise. May that fellowship with you be sweetened like never before. Lord, may the Spirit of God just accept him into your fellowship once again in its fullness, Lord. Grant it to my brother. We thank you for bringing him this way. We give him as a trophy to you. I thank you for what you're doing in his life. I believe, Lord, it's just a sign of how close we are to the end. Thank you so much for it, Lord. We give it to you now and ask in that name that cannot fail, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, guys. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, just love on him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You feel a spirit here with us? Oh, glory to God. Why does he come by? It's because he loves you, brother, sister. We're not hopeless. That's why he's here. That's why he hears your prayers. That's why you feel his presence. That's why you hear his voice. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. those love on the Lord tonight before we go to communion. Let your faith rise. Believe in what we've prayed. Believe in your heart that Christ did die for you, brother, sister. Don't be condemned. Don't stay on that side. Come where you're the church of the firstborn. Your spirit's been made perfect by the grace of God. You're not bound anymore. Don't identify with that devil. You surrender yourself, not to the Lord as we think. It's just He's the Word. Surrender to everything that He said about it. Hallelujah. He took your place, brother, sister. Believe it with all your heart tonight. I say that in the name of the Lord. Don't be afraid of communion. That's why you came, because you love the Lord. It's those that ain't here that should be afraid to take this. It's those that are in and out, serve the Lord one day, not the next. You're trying to serve the Lord. You ought to be taking communion. It'd be a sin for you not to at this point, because you're saying you don't want to identify with Him no more. And really what you're doing, you're just being ashamed of yourself. And you shouldn't be, because the grace of God's come to you. The blood of the Lamb shed for you. And for you to still be ashamed, you're saying, Lord, your blood wasn't enough for me though. Don't you do that, friends. The blood was good enough for every one of us. The blood knew everything that you would do before you did it, and He still shed it for you. Hallelujah. He invites us back to fellowship. He invites us back to commune with Him. Hallelujah. Oh, that feels a lot better. Just keep raising up in that faith. Don't let that devil of condemnation come back. It's what he always does. He tells a sinner he's a saint, tells a saint he's a sinner. Don't you believe that? Let's surrender now to His Word with all of our hearts. And Jesus, I surrender all with all your heart. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of my heart. One last time, all together tonight. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of my all. Thank the Lord. You changed the order of the service tonight. Hallelujah. I like to just wish, if you're going to take communion, would you please come forward and let's just make a circle right around here. Let's go ahead, Brother Austin, come on. Everyone, he can come up here, that's fine. Just all come up here. That's fine, just come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank the Lord. Let's all just stay in an atmosphere of prayer. Think of the Lord. As I read this tonight, it's coming out of 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, and ye come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's take a moment now and
bow our heads as individuals. As the Bible said, let us examine ourselves. And brother, sister, I trust that you've already done that, but I'd like to take a few minutes just to pray. Let the Lord, if there's something He wants you to do, I believe He'll reveal it to you now. But the Bible says, let us judge ourselves and then let us eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So let's do that. Judge ourselves now and think on the Lord. Trusting you have a clean conscience. The Bible says He took the bread and broke it. He took the bread, He broke it, and then He blessed it. So let's bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, first that You'll come and bless this natural element. But Lord, give us faith to look past just this bread and to see that body that was taken, bruised and beaten for us, Lord. And we come to partake to say, Lord, it was good enough for us, Lord. We appreciate what You did on Calvary. We thank You for laying that body in our place. We remember what You did when the world's made You a thought or a theology or just a doctrine. We remember the man that was the Word that chose to take our place. When You could have called legions of angels, You said, not my will, thine be done. Lord, we appreciate Your choice for us. We take this in remembrance of You, Lord, and pray You'll bless this time as we consecrate our hearts back to loving You again. Bless this bread and bless this communion as we take. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Please just take one. I'll just hand you one and wait till we all have one and we'll eat together. Let us eat in remembrance of Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. After the same manner, let's bow our heads again over the wine that we have tonight. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for that blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank You for the redemptive power that it had in our lives to bring us out of a life of darkness to this glorious light that we enjoy tonight. We thank You, Lord, for shedding it for us. Lord, have this wine. We pray You'll bless it to our bodies now. May You bless to our hearts the revelation of what it meant for this blood to be shed for us. We appreciate it so much. We give You thanks. We give You honor. We give You glory that's due Your name. We partake this in remembrance of the greatest thing that ever happened on earth. The redemption of our souls and the whole world.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just thank Him our own way.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise your name tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for taking my place, Lord. Thank you for blood. Thank you for dying, Lord. Thank you for raising again for me. I praise your name, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for grace and mercy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
God bless you, saints. We'll be dismissed here to foot washing, so please go back in your seats, brother. My dad and Brother Dan, get the buckets ready.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So you're ready to do foot washing tonight. We're reading the scriptures. It's Brother Dan and Dad, get the buckets ready. It's John chapter 13. And before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Aren't you grateful for that tonight, brother, sister? He loved us to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He rises from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my head and my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. If ye do these things, happy are ye if you do them. Can you say amen tonight?
Amen. So, it's a lovely thing. Commune with the Lord and the communion. Don't you just feel scared out and just... I believe that's why we take wine. It's got that property, just scares you out all the way inside. And I believe that's what the blood did for us, brother, sister. Went all the way down through our heart, through our life, and cleaned us all out from the world and made us the Word again. And now we get a chance to demonstrate that Word again in humility and serving one another. And you know, at the time of Jesus, they're about ready here. At the time of Jesus, the foot wash flunky was the lowest job you could have. It would be the toenail scratcher or something. And brother, sister, that's why we do it, is because we love one another. We do it not because I think your feet are dirty. I trust they're not. But it's to humble ourselves to say, this is my brother. I identify with him. I believe that he's better than I am. That the Bible says everyone should esteem the other greater than themselves. We all ought to think about that with each other. And I'm willing to humble myself. And when we wash each other's feet, we're not even just doing it to that brother. You're doing it to the Lord Jesus. And ought that stir your heart just to think of Him sitting there. Could you imagine being Peter as get ready to take it here? Just imagine being Peter. Just imagine Jesus coming to you and says, no, I'll take out the trash. I'll scrub the floors. And you say, no, Jesus, we'll do that. You don't need to do that. He said, no, get out of the way. I'm going to do it because I'm going to show you how to be a Christian. Love one another. I'm your Lord, your Master, I'm your King. And you watch the Gentiles put their kings up on pedestals and they don't never do nothing. They don't know what a hard day is. He said, but that's not how we do it in this kingdom. The King became our servant. Oh, aren't you grateful for the Lord tonight? Amen. So I'll let the sisters, as we approach this prayerfully, go ahead and be dismissed back there. Brothers, we'll come up here. I think we've got enough. And go ahead and pair off. That's fine. Go ahead and get started. Praise the Lord. Just pair up wherever you feel to. That's fine.